with the third pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blake Bortles, quarterback, Central Florida.
So a guy that's extremely talented, wanted to be here, and, you know, possesses all the physical traits we're looking for.
You know, he's everything we preach. He's a guy that's a highly competitive guy.
This guy loves Jacksonville, and he's excited about this. And I'm pumped up to see all you guys here, man. That's a great job.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
All right, here we go. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. I think I'm hitting the wrong button. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fast Time. I keep trying to find the reset button. I think that was Lauren's way of trying to reset the season as well right there. Let's harken back to the bygone days of the 2014 NFL Draft.
Sure.
And when everything felt fantastic. The new era, the Osher era, has it begun? What's going on, man? I mean, was this a tryout? Did they just sign you sight unseen? What happened here?
It was ugly. I mean, it was we had an ozone video mailbag.
Oh, you're ruining it now. You're not really on the 53 now?
Well, there's been talk of it, but it's all talk from my end, unfortunately. It's one of those one-sided negotiations where. For some reason, they're not returning my call.
You thought just,
and I'm in the building.
You thought just putting a uniform and shoulder pads on might be able to, you know, and some aviators. You're qualified to just step right in and help this football team.
I sport the look.
Can you tackle in space?
No.
No. All right.
I can't even.
Can you?
Not only can't I pursue, I can't even get a first step.
Can you if the count is on two, can you count to two?
I can count to two.
All right. Well, there you go. You're off to a good start.
I couldn't even do those things when I could do those things.
Johnny O is here, senior writer from Jaguars.com. Fat Tony is here. 0-5 for the Jags. Maybe, I'm not going to tell fans how to feel. They could feel a lot of different ways. I can understand why you might be more hopeful today, right? The defense, which we said, hey, hasn't shown up for a month, showed up yesterday, allowed only 10 points in this football game. So certainly there were some bright spots there, and people are going to point to, hey, there's some key third downs, and Roethlisberger had all day to throw. That happens in the National Football
League.
That's the NFL. Right? I mean, and yes, there were, but ultimately, you give up 10 points, that's the barometer. That's a phenomenal job by the defense. You've
against
got away.
A pretty good offense. I mean, you know, I've heard different stuff this morning about, well, the Steelers didn't play well, the Steelers didn't do this, and I'm like, well, look, okay, that may be true, but we all sort of talked all last week that this was a pretty good offense with a very, very good skill position player in Antonio Brown. Maybe, you know, I don't know if he's the best receiver in football.
Having
right now,
the best
right
season
there, right.
up till yesterday.
And Ben Roethlisberger, a guy who, like Phillip Rivers, whatever powers he has, he's at the height of them. So they gave up some yards, and they gave up some points where, by points I mean time in the game, where they couldn't get the Steelers off the field. And so the Steelers, to me, never felt that much out of control of the game. But the Jaguars kept it to a point where one play and they could turn it around. They were in a danger area. If the Jaguars were able to hit a big play when they get the fumble, all of a sudden they're ahead. So the Steelers played with fire a little bit. But I credit the Jaguars defense for the first time all year. I thought the defense looked like what we thought it would look in the offseason. Meaning, I don't think this was going to be a dominant defense, but it was supposed to be a defense that kept the team in games while the young offense, which I think we all knew was going to be a significant work in progress, while it kept them in games. This is more the game, and even for the most part last week, was more the team that I sort of thought we would see. But it's still 0-5.
Yeah, significant work in progress. You could talk. There are aspects that are a work in progress when because you're.
I mean the offense.
That's what I'm talking about here. The offense because you're over relying on a guy like Allen Hurns who,
absolutely.
With the first half he had yesterday, probably wouldn't have seen the field if you had Marquise Lee and Cecil Shorts healthy in the second half of that game because three drops. Sometimes it's not that guy's day. You got to look elsewhere, but they don't have Cecil. They don't have Marquise Lee. I'm not making excuses because guys get hurt around the National Football League, but the reality is you get past Mercedes Lewis, Cecil Shorts, Marquise Lee. You're left with what you saw yesterday. But the issue to me, and I think for everybody out there, is that doesn't excuse what you're not seeing out of the running game right now.
Right.
Because, and I realize they haven't played a lot together, but this is the offensive line now that they envision is their
group. It doesn't
surprise
me a bit that they're running the ball this way early. I mean, only because my experience is that with a offensive line that's coming together, it can take a half a season, take three quarters of a season.
Miami's got a whole new offensive line this year. Whole new offense. And they're not all this young, but not all of them, but it's a brand new offensive line. And Knowshon Moreno, Lamar Miller been running great behind it when healthy all season long. I mean, just this one example off the top of my head. So what's the time period? You know, everyone, you got to play, right? I mean, it's your 5 weeks into the season. You had an entire off season, and I get it.
But I thought yesterday, again, I keep looking for progress out of the offensive line, and I don't think there's any question. And again, I'm not trying to say yesterday was good. You got to win in this league. But if you're looking for progress out of the line, I thought yesterday, especially when Storm Johnson got in the game, I think that's the storyline we're going to follow this week. There, for the first time this season, there were holes, and there was a feeling for a while that you were close to getting things going.
Were there more holes, or did he just see them better? You know what I mean? I mean, it looked to me like he got in there. He's very decisive. Very small sample here. He only got a handful of carries, but he looked
decisive. He put his foot in the ground.
Quick.
For those four or five runs, he looked better than a running back has looked on this team this year.
Correct. But I find it hard to believe that all of a sudden for those carries, the blocking was just better for him. You know what I mean? That's why I just think that.
Well, some of it is a lot of pieces coming together where you've got a quarterback back there now that I think defenses are a little more concerned about, frankly. So it's rarely one thing. So I think the line is playing a little better. Defenses are paying a little more attention to Bortles. You get Storm Johnson in there who's putting his foot in the ground a little more and being a little more decisive. So that's how it felt. It felt like another small step when he was in the game. And I think based on that, it would be surprising if you don't see him get a lot more carries. And,
I would agree.
And a trend toward him getting the mother load of the carries, if he can stay on the field.
John, it's such a low threshold that we're talking about here, because you look yesterday, San Diego's a team that has not been able to run the football, okay? Couldn't run it against the Jags. The week before, Donald Brown took him 31 carries to get 62 yards. He goes out, boom, in comes Brandon Oliver, who's practically not played at all, and he totals something like 175 yards, over 100 yards rushing, and the rest of it catching the ball out of the backfield. And it was, you put that guy in and boom! I mean, they went from 0 to 60 in a hurry, whereas here we're like going from 0 to 15 miles per hour. And we're like, wow. I mean, that's the thing, because the progress is so incremental.
I believe most of it, the reason the progress is so incremental is there is a phenomenal lack of experience on this offense. I mean, to the point where you really have one guy on this offense who has started significantly more than a full season in the NFL, and that's Zane Beatles.
I gotcha. When they opened the game, he was the only guy with 10 or more starts on the offense yesterday.
Right.
I get it. But that's the team they put together.
Sure, it is.
That's the direction they've chosen to go.
And I'm not saying where that part's right or wrong. I'm saying I think that's why you're seeing what you're seeing.
Correct. Understood. But and I think the point that I was talking about with Jeff, and I heard T-Wig make this yesterday on the fifth quarter show, and it's a valid point. It's great if you think, oh, well, all these guys are going to get better together. It typically doesn't work that way.
Well, they're not all going to get better.
Right, exactly.
Clearly.
And that's
But I think what you're looking for now is you've got 11. I mean, I'm not sure what the number is, but there's six rookies started yesterday, and you have Marquise Lee, and then you have Storm Johnson come in. So it's eight or nine guys. If you count Jokel, that's nine, and Art Robinson, 10. Out of that bunch, what you're looking for is you're looking to have, by the end of the season, six or seven of those guys where you go, okay, these guys are
that's
good.
The
these
core.
Guys are right. It's not realistic to think that all 11 of these guys who are playing offense for the Jaguars now are going to be core guys in 4 years. That doesn't work that way. But from where they're starting, what you're trying to find, you've got Blake Bortles. I think you better feel like he's the guy you're building around. So now you're looking for different parts that you can build around. And unfortunately, we're seeing that play out before our eyes. There are no set-in-stone guys right now. You just got to see who those guys develop. And that's where we are. I wish we weren't, but that's where you are.
It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday today. It always is. Simmer down over there. The Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. I think it is going to be a fun one today because we've already gotten some creative responses on this. Give us the three adjectives that best describe how you feel about this football team. And some of it is a mix of the entire spectrum. It's not all like three negatives, three positives. It's somewhat mixed and what have you. So I'm not going to restrict you. Any three adjectives you want. If you want them read on the air, keep them radio friendly. But you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Did the roof just fall? The sky's not falling, is it?
I was over here crumbling paper.
I wasn't sure what that was going
Eating
on.
Breakfast.
We'll take plenty of your calls today, as we do every Monday at 641-1010. We'll hear some post-game comments from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles, and we'll get into where the Jags stand as they get ready to go to Tennessee and look to get off the winless mark in 2014. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, wait a minute. I was so sure you were going with Schoolhouse Rock today in honor of my adjectives.
I know, but I couldn't do something to you where you didn't have to take a guess at a music theme.
Back on the Chain Gang.
I couldn't do it
now.
To you.
Are we getting on the referees?
Back on the Chain Gang.
Yeah, sing it, O. Johnny O, ladies and gentlemen.
I can roll some Pretenders now.
Can we? Oh, no. They're not. You're not calling the Jags Pretenders, Lauren.
I am not. I would never do that. And no, I'm not getting on the referees either.
Whew. All right. Good. This is a good song. I like this song.
Maybe she's just going to work. Maybe Lauren's just saying, I'm going to work this morning.
I got my lunch pail.
Than I've done. Yeah.
How could I have done a better job?
That's you're pretending if you think that's the thing.
All right.
Okay. Can we get this silliness about the Ebola towel out of the way right now? You know the deal here?
I saw it very late last night, and
I didn't even see it, and I've heard about it, and apparently Jacksonville said something like terrible towels carry Ebola or something like that. Or I don't want to mischaracterize.
No, that's pretty accurate characterization.
And I heard that Mike and Mike were all over his case about it this morning. Right,
I didn't hear that part.
That's what Joe Fortunato said. That they.
I was listening to the drill.
The drill.
I did not.
I almost called them the drive.
I did not hear Mike and Mike.
You were driving to the drill.
I'm loyal to the programming on 1010.
I would like to go back over the tapes of the last year, and I guess they're saying that how insensitive that is because people are losing their lives to this horrible disease. I'd like to go back over the tape. For the last, I guess, their entire career, and see if they've ever used the phrase train wreck.
Right.
I believe people die in train wrecks. That's a horrible characterization of a football team. We're talking football here. How can you compare that to a train wreck?
Dumpster fire?
Dumpster fire.
People have died in a dumpster fire.
People can die in a dumpster fire. You could fall into the dumpster while it's on fire and not be able to get out before you burn to death.
It would take a tricky circumstance, but you could.
You could, absolutely could. I mean, and think of all the... The poor stray animals that may be living in that dumpster as well. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Toughen up, world. Seriously. Come on. Are you kidding me? Hey, guy who got Ebola and then lied in Liberia to the healthcare workers about your exposure. I feel no sympathy for that guy. You lied so you could get back in the United States and now you're in critical condition. Hey, that's tough, buddy. I got 6 billion other people I'm going to worry about than the guy who lied to the healthcare workers about his exposure to Ebola. Just, I feel bad to anyone he may have spread it to. Give me a break. People are way too freaking sensitive today.
Yeah, I haven't given it enough thought to really,
to me, that's funny. It's funny. I mean, honestly, can we joke about nothing anymore? Nothing whatsoever.
Apparently, I mean, with some people, we cannot.
We cannot use the phrase throw the bomb, right? Because clearly bombs have killed tens of thousands, millions of people probably over
the
years.
Don't use Blitz.
Oh, that's from the Nazis' Blitzkrieg, the Lightning War in World War II. Stop. Just stop using these phrases, please. I mean, come on. Toughen up, Mike and Mike and rest of the world who was offended by that. And if you are, then feel free to tune into a program that's less offensive, because
right.
I'm backing the cat on this one 100%.
Absolutely. And by the way, good on Jackson to once again, he had something in the bag when the Steelers come to town. There's always something special from the cat when the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming
to
town.
You know my bigger issue with the towel yesterday? Who the hell allowed that towel to sit on the pool?
My gosh.
Who is going to be Jacksonville's hero and dive in the pool? All right, we already saw one person sitting in there fully clothed. Have you seen the photo of that?
I did.
Blue jeans, sweatshirt, standing there watching the game. Okay, you can't let the terrible towel hang on the pool. That thing's got to be taken off.
Absolutely.
Thrown away, because for one thing, you're exposing everyone in the pool to the Ebola at that point in time. So
here we go.
All right. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I honestly, stop. Just stop with the oversensitivity, for goodness sakes. All right. 641-1010. Off my little mini rant right there.
Feel better? You all right?
No, I don't necessarily feel better, right. But, I'll be okay.
You sit down for a little while.
I should. I'll sit down for the rest of the show, for people who don't know. That's a lie. I'm already sitting down. Where do they go from here, John? I mean, what
Nashville?
I know that. But in terms of trying to get things, I mean, I said yesterday, I felt, I don't even know if I said this on the post game show. I just felt that I was glad there were different things to complain about. You know what I mean? Because if it's the same thing over and over and over again, you wonder, is it ever going to get fixed?
Right.
And yes, in the case of the running game, that's an issue. But in the case of the defense, at least for one day, give them their due for doing a pretty good job, a really good job. It took 12 throws to Antonio Brown to get him 5 catches yesterday.
And I thought, again, I usually don't have time on Sunday nights to go back and watch the game, but it seemed from the press box that Demetrius McCray did a pretty decent job.
I thought so,
too. For his first start. He got beat on some plays, obviously, which you're going to do against him, but it also seemed like he competed, and when he had the opportunity to make some plays, he did.
Goal line, he was great.
Which is what you want out of a DB in that situation. I mean, you're not going to shut him down, but you want to not give up. You want to not let him take over the game. And I didn't feel like Antonio Brown took over the game.
Not even close.
Right. So that's really what you want when you're playing an elite guy like that, is you don't want him going off and, you know, being the story on SportsCenter.
Yeah, and he's been for a month.
Right.
I mean, he's been practically unstoppable in NFL terms.
Right.
You know, just... And guys have down weeks. I didn't think he had a down week. I just thought they did a really, I mean, every time they threw to him, they had guys in coverage. At one time they threw at him. I mean, there were so many Jags around him, I couldn't believe Ben even tried to force the ball in at that point in time. They still gave up too many conversions on third down, but again, that's going to happen. They need to do a better job on their own third downs, but they're getting to the point now where you're getting in short yardage. Can you even trust running the football on a 1 or 2 yard third and two? Fourth and one, you got the quarterback.
You got the
sneak.
Sense, especially early, that they didn't, you know, and that sort of influenced the play call of where we haven't been able to pick this up. What do we do? That's not a good situation to be in. But again, I do think that you may see a small change in that approach once they get Storm Johnson going. I think you want to see, if you believe that he's starting to change that dynamic a little bit, then you want to see how it works with him in the game. So I think there's still something there to sort of explore the next couple of weeks. So I thought overall, though, you mentioned the defense. I thought the defensive line as a group, as I said earlier, was much more like what you thought they'd be before the season, and the defense as a whole. Meaning, I still don't think this team has a dominant edge pass rusher. And I think that's the next big piece to add in terms of where you're taking this franchise. I think that's what next off season is about. But on the whole, I think they played pretty well and played well enough. They didn't get to Roethlisberger as much as they wanted to, of course, but there were also plays where they affected Roethlisberger and they got a big sack. They got a fumble. There was a play early where they got to Roethlisberger and forced an incomplete pass. You never felt like the Steelers got to a point where they were comfortable on offense the way some teams had in the past this season.
Sure. I think, too, when you look at the sack totals, doesn't tell the whole story. As you said, there are other times when they affected Roethlisberger. I didn't think enough.
Not enough.
Right, because it's one, the four sacks are fantastic, but
right.
if you couple that with a commensurate amount of pressure where you
right.
don't sack him, and that's because if you have four a game, that's 64, you'll lead the league in sacks
yeah,
as a
gonna,
team. I mean, if you got
that's
four
what I would
week,
call a good year.
That'd be fantastic. But
an analytics
if those are the only plays where you're impacting the
right.
quarterback, it's not as big. I mean, that's where sacks are typically, at least you hope, they're an indication of the overall amount of pressure. I don't know what the formula is. Every
right.
five times you get pressure on the quarterback, you end up with a sack or whatever it is. Or,
right.
You know, maybe,
I would, over the long haul, you would rather have consistent pressure
correct.
Than a high sack number.
Correct.
And they're not at that point yet. But at the same time, we've been ripping this team all year for different things. Give them credit. They're up. I mean, they're down one. The Steelers are driving, and you sort of got the sense that if the Steelers score here, they're in trouble. Me and the Jaguars are in trouble. And they got the big sack. They got a sack fumble. They put their offense in a situation to go in the game. That's sort of what you ask for in this league, is a big play at a big time. The defense made that big play, and then you know they turned around and had the pick six. But for that moment, they got that done. For the game yesterday, that was the best defensive game of the season by far.
Oh, no question.
And so it's easy to pick it apart. Overall, again, I keep going back to that's maybe even a little better of what you expected out of the defense overall this year.
Yeah, 10 points. I mean, you should win games.
Absolutely.
They should have won that game. Just if you go and say, we're going to hold Pittsburgh to 10 offensive mm-hmm. points in that football game,
absolutely.
Even if you say we're going to hold them to 17 overall points,
that's
that
the formula for victory.
Exactly. 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. Let's get Bobby up first today on Jaguars Today. Hello, Bobby. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
I like to talk about Storm Johnson. I hope he can get healthy and get on the field because he made some cuts out there the other day that I got some hope for the running game with Storm coming in there.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Well, I hope that's the case. I mean, we saw just a brief glimpse. And, mm-hmm. you know, look, there are guys that have hit the ground running in the National Football League and put up a big first month and then never heard from again. He's not even close to doing that. But I think we're at the point right now where anyone who wants his team to have success mm-hmm. is so desperate for something positive
sure.
in the running game. And, Tony, you're looking at the snap count on these guys.
Yeah.
Gerhardt played 10 offensive snaps yesterday.
Yep.
So people are saying, why are they relying on him? Well, they're not. They're,
right.
And Ryan O'Halloran laid that out in the Florida Times Union, how it's gone down every single week
mm-hmm.
at this point in time. Jordan Todman actually played the most. I'd like to go back and look at some of those holding penalties as well, because I know the guys on the broadcast didn't necessarily agree with all of them. They had the one good run
mm-hmm.
on the very first series that got held back or called back because of a hold.
Right.
Are you
talking about the Jokel hold? One of them?
Was that Jokel?
Yeah, that was Jokel. Jokel on the Todman run that got him inside the five. That was Jokel on that one. On the Storm Johnson's first carry as a Jaguar in the regular
Hearns,
season.
Wasn't it?
It was,
Hearns
and Bowenko. They called two on that play. And then Bowenko held again later in that drive. On the second
maybe,
and 20, when
right.
he threw that pass to Hearns on the sideline, there was another holding call.
Right.
And
that's
then
right.
the pick.
And that's the one, I think, that Tony and Jeff were talking about on the game broadcast,
okay.
that they watched replay. They thought, where is it? There's nothing there.
Right.
There's no hold.
Yeah, that
there.
Was the one that looked a little.
That happens, nice.
I mean, I saw it once. I thought the Jokel hold, I thought it looked like a decent call, but I saw it very briefly, and it may have been my angle. I don't know if they were complaining about that one, too. So.
Your margin of error shouldn't be so thin that a couple of holding calls, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you shouldn't have to pitch a perfect game to be able to win a game in the National Football League, right?
No.
That's
always the thing. When you're sort of looking back at plays, yes, sometimes a play at the end of the game. When you're talking about plays in the middle of the game, you game plan and prepare and stack your roster so that you're not worried about one or two calls.
All right, let's get David up here next on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Hi, David.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, Kat, if you're listening, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're the best thing we got next to Blake Bortles. I mean, good God. I mean, I love watching the Cat and all his antics, everything he does. I mean, you know, I was reading the Huffington Post this morning, and they were talking about it, but they started their article out by saying, well, we know it was done on Saturday Night Live, but that's different. Well, why is it different for Saturday Night Live? I mean, this is the double standard we keep seeing over and over again, but I had no problem with it. And as far as the Ebola thing goes, why are they bringing the patients to the United States? Why don't they take the cure to Africa?
I don't know, man. We don't want to make it a show about the care and treatment of that, but I get your point. I appreciate the point.
I'm not going to go down a social road because of the cat.
No, but I don't think the cat's going to change.
He's not going to take me there.
By the way, this one from Arturo Confiado, if I said that right, hopefully I did, Arturo, at Arturo 23 on Twitter. He said, don't forget about the expression drinking the Kool-Aid, all right? And,
that's a good point.
Remember that history. I'm sure Mike have never said that one, right? Drink the Kool-Aid about the train wreck, for goodness sakes. All right, 641-1010, if you'd like to get in on a reaction Monday. Jags fall to 0-5. We'll hear from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles post-game coming up. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, and Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Get Back by Ludacris. Ludacris, Pretenders, is that the tie that binds these two together? I'm not sure. We know it's not describing the Jags, is what Lauren told us, so we'll work on that.
Is Lauren mad at the officiating? Is that
maybe
back judge, chain gang?
No, it's
not.
She
said it wasn't official. The
officials. Okay. Well.
Yeah, we guessed that one 10 minutes ago. It's Wild West Guns of Gold Mike.
I don't listen.
I want to point out,
because
I don't want to belabor this anymore about the Jacksonville thing. What I said is my personal opinion on it. And I express my opinion. Just because this program is called Jaguars Today doesn't mean this is the official opinion or viewpoint of the Jacksonville Jaguars, or of 1010XL for that matter. No one's ever asked me to slant my view to anything other than the way I feel about it. But I do think it's fair to the organization. Mark Lamping, the president of the Jaguars, put out a statement this morning that reads in its entirety, quote, improvisation and humor have both been key elements of the character of Jacksonville, especially when he performs at home games. On Sunday, the person who's played Jacksonville over the past 20 seasons made an extremely poor decision in that regard. The team was unaware of this inappropriate sign, which was handmade by Jackson during the fourth quarter of yesterday's game until after it had been displayed. We're handling the matter internally, taking it very seriously. We extend our sincerest apologies to anyone who was offended, end quote.
And I think you said what I said, Mike. It didn't offend me personally, but I'm not connected with the virus. So I
get that, but there's so many terms we use.
Right.
That person's a cancer to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my mom's dying of cancer, man. That's how can you use that so flippantly? There are so many things that just I wonder what you're allowed to say that isn't going to offend somebody.
Right.
In just about everything we say. And look, I get that. That's something that clearly probably will offend some people.
Sure.
But enough said. I've made my point on it, and so has the team, and on we move. All right, let's get to the phone, 641-1010, and talk with Dennis next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
What's up? I am a season ticket holder. I live in Savannah, Georgia. I haven't missed a game in 6 years, but I got
good
kicked out of my seat yesterday.
Why?
For cheering too loud.
For cheering too loud?
Yes. Yes, and they wonder
why. I don't know what your circumstances were, and you know, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I get to my seat. I have the same seat, section 111. I'm in the touchdown club. I'm not one of these doctors or lawyers that usually sit there, but I've had them for 6 years. Lady behind me in the fourth quarter came and got security and said, "I yell too much. I've never cursed. Everyone that sits around me knows me. Like, he doesn't curse. He just yells for the defense." But this is why we have no identity as a fan base, because for one, we can't stand. We can't cheer too loudly. I mean, really, they kicked me out of my seat, moved me to another seat, and then 2 minutes later, I see somebody sitting in my seat, the one I paid $286 for.
Let me jump in here. Look, I can't speak to your experience, and I'm not, believe me, I don't know. I take you at your word, but there are two sides to every story. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. This sounds more like a customer relations issue to me, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to blow you off, but you hear things that happen and you don't always hear everything that went into it. I don't know. Maybe he's telling you exactly the way it happened. It's just, it's something that there's no way I'm going to be able to know, you know.
Right. We can comment on the game and what players say because we saw and heard it.
Right.
I didn't see this, so it, that happened. It's not right, but I don't know.
Right, I would say, the Jags, as far as I've seen, are very responsive to their customer base. And if you've got an issue, I would suggest calling the team and dealing with them directly. But, if you had a bad experience, sorry about that. And we'll move
right,
on.
Right, and that's not saying you're blowing it off. We just
There's really, you just feel like in a position you hate to, 633-6000, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a number if you want to call and voice your, opinion, displeasure, what have you. And, they'll be responsive to you. At least, I believe they will. Daryl, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Yes, my, popcorn was filled halfway. I won't make up. I'm just joking. Let's talk football. Anyway, let me tell you something. I look at it different than y'all. Now, check this out. When we're looking at the game, all Jaguars need is better receivers. I know them guys young, so that's not really fair. But when I'm looking at other games, we're kind of, because they're young, I don't want to really jump on them. They don't fight for the ball. Every time Blake throws the ball, I like, fight for the ball. And I want to see them roll Blake out a little more. Like, it seemed like the last 2 weeks, they started to go to this Chad Henne garbage offense. We got Blake Bortles. Let him do his thing. You know what I'm saying? And Jaguar fans, look at who the Jaguars lost to. Did y'all see what San Diego did to the Jets yesterday? So,
I don't know if you feel better just because one other team. Yeah, when you're 0-5, does it matter if some other team is worse than you? But if it does, the Jets are worse than the Jaguars, despite the fact that they've won a game this year.
Well, and I think, look, if you're a Jaguar fan and you want to take anything out of that Jets game yesterday, it's that, look, the defense might have been getting better last week, and they just ran into a buzzsaw on Phillip Rivers and what that Chargers offense is doing. So maybe some of the signs that we saw on tape last week, they came to fruition yesterday against the Steelers offense that isn't running on all cylinders quite the same way that San Diego is. I think as a Jaguar fan, you can take that away. And I know, John, being upstairs and being in the stadium watching that game, the windows that Blake Bortles is having to throw in right now are so, so small. Nobody is separating at all right now in that right. Wide receiver core.
No, and that's, again, it's been, we don't talk about it a lot on this show because you don't want to sit there and sound like you're making excuses for Blake Bortles. He doesn't need your excuses, but you're also, again, without Marquise Lee. You're without Mercedes Lewis. You're without Cecil Shorts. All got, you know, you're down to Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Mike Brown, and Ace Sanders as your wide receivers yesterday. Well, that's not what you would ideally be going into it with.
No.
So it's, again, that's what's on the field. So you don't sit there and say, well, if this. But again, I keep going back to overall, the last two games, since Blake got into the lineup, this team looks a lot more like I thought the first four or five games of this season would be than the first three games were. More competitive, a struggling inconsistent offense with some rookies, and the defense overall playing well enough to keep them in a game yesterday. That's a little more like what I thought it would be than the Redskins and the Colts game board.
This tweet, and it's along similar lines here, this one from CM at Jags _ outsider, said, can you ask Osh about Jed Fish and his play calling? He's unproven. Seems like he's calling it too conservative, which goes right with what Tony's saying. First thing Fred Taylor said when he walked in here yesterday after the game, he watches the game upstairs. JP and I are here in the studio because we're doing updates throughout the game. Tony's upstairs, so we all have different vantage points on it. And Fred walks in, he goes, nobody's open.
Mm-mm.
First thing he said when he walked in, nobody's open.
And
nobody's getting open.
If you combine that with a Steelers team that I don't think it's the same Steelers defense as maybe we're used to when they're really, really good, but they're still a blitzing, pressuring,
still LeBeau
defense. So if you take a receiving core that's not getting open and you combine that, do you start calling plays where you're exposing the kid to a lot of blitzes, a lot of deep drops, a lot of stuff that he has to have time in the backfield for? You know, again, I don't sit and talk offensive philosophy with Jed Fish every day, but I've talked to him about it enough to know that his instinct is to pass. It's to be creative. It's to do a lot of things. But he also does not want to expose Blake Bortles to situations that are going to put him in absolute negative situations. So
when you say absolute, you mean like run, and then be in third and long all the time?
Well, that and deep drops against a blitzing team when the receivers aren't getting open.
Right. It's a little interesting to me, and I understand when there's no point in continuing to run into a brick wall, but Jed Fish told us, Tony, this summer, he wanted a 58 run, 42 pass. Ideally for him. It is so far flipped from that right now. I mean, they're barely, and I get it, because I think that, you know, what do they say? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. When you keep running into the line and getting 2 yards, you do that three times, you're going to punt every single time. So I get it.
So far, the way they ran early, if you run, pass, you would be facing a lot of, again, so far, you'd be facing a lot of third and eights. And third and eight is tough on Chad Henne. It's
tough on any quarterback in the NFL consistently, it's unless you're one of the great ones.
Even if you're one of the great ones.
It depends. I mean, I don't think Peyton Manning's too phased by third and eight with the weapons that he has. But
we're talking
an extreme here.
Covering Peyton Manning for 10 years, every Wednesday his theme was to get in third and manageable, because he did not want to be facing third and nine, because your percentages go way down. But anyway, that's obvious.
Right. We're nitpicking the point here. And the point is understandable. You don't want to put – But whether it's because you just don't want to be third and long, you're just not having success, whatever the combination of things. I mean, you might be in second and short, and you feel like we're throwing a play away here. You know, you might be in second and four, and if we run it, well, we're going to be in third and two, because we're just not getting anything. You got to find the balance, though, between that and to say, you know what, we're going to come out here, and we're going to try to impose our will, and we're going to try to run this football. Look at last week, right? New England Patriots offensive line. We spent the whole week talking about, oh, my goodness, it's collapsed. A team's nothing like it was last year, because all the skill guys are the same. They came out last night and said, the hell with that. We're going to play better. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. I mean, they came out, they pushed Cincinnati around on the defensive front in the run game. They protected Tom Brady. Same group of guys. I don't know if it's an attitude adjustment. I don't know what it is, but they came out and they were committed, to not necessarily just one thing, not necessarily we're going to drive this ball down Cincinnati's throat on the ground, but when they wanted to, they ran it with Ridley and Vereen. When they passed it, they gave Brady a mostly clean pocket all night, and this is a team that just got worked in the same capacities just 1 week ago. You know, that's the thing. You see changes like this in the NFL, and I realize this is a young group. They have more veteran guys on that offensive line in New England for sure, but you do see extremes in the NFL. You say, okay, we get it. Other teams get blown out, but then they come back, and I'm using the example of Tampa. They lose 56-14, then they win in Pittsburgh and really had New Orleans on the ropes and gave that one away yesterday. And I think Jag fans could handle the extreme bad games that they've had.
If the better ones were balanced out a little bit. I think, too, and again, I know people are worn out on hearing the inexperienced offense. But there's also a case where when you're dealing with so many guys who are brand new to this, there is an element where the coordinator is still trying to figure out what everybody does well. Meaning, what can I rely on? What do I know is going to be the bread and butter? What's Blake's best throw? What's his favorite receiver? What does he like best? Well, that's stuff that sort of happens over time. They know, I mean, again, I'm not comparing them to Tom Brady, but they know what Tom Brady loves to do. They know these five play calls are what he loves the most. There's nobody on this Jaguars offense right now who Jed has any institutional memory with, I guess is what you will. So you're still trying to figure out what you are on offense. And that's a process that obviously with these young kids is going to take a lot of time. And, again, I get people worn out on hearing it, but that's where you are.
All right, coming up, this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey and the senior writer from Jaguars.com, John Osier, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. This is Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Phone line still open to you at 641-1010 here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. On this date in 1986, Steve Largent caught a pass, and that was a reception in 128 consecutive games, which set the NFL record at the time. We talked about this last week, Tony. That record would go on to be eclipsed by Art Monk, among others, and then blown out of the water by Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. Monk had something like 180-ish games, and then Rice did like 274.
Do you remember the first guy who made that record matter?
The first guy who made it matter, you mean before Largent?
Uh-huh. It was Jacksonville's Harold Carmichael.
Harold Carmichael with
that was a big deal, yeah, when he was with the Eagles. When I was a kid, 8th, 9th grade, that was a big deal. Paper would always keep track of his march to that record. Harold
now,
Carmichael.
The whole thing is, can you catch 5 per game?
Obviously a big deal. How we many saw that.
Apparently it is. It's worth putting the ball in the air under 2 minutes when you're up by one possession in the football game. Also, in 1996, Nick Lowry tied Jan Stenerud with the all-time mark of 373 field goals made, since eclipsed by, let's see, Lowry ended up with 383, kicked 10 more at that point, since eclipsed by 9 other kickers.
Name them, Fat Tony.
Pop quiz! Who's going first?
Who Kicker you got? Pop quiz.
Kicker pop quiz. Now, keep in mind, this is since 1996, so they're all modern-day kickers here.
And they all have more than 390 career
field
goals?
They all have more than 383 career field goals. The top 9 all-time. Who you got?
I'll
on the kicker
Morton
list?
Anderson.
Morton Anderson, number 1, Tony. And he, thankfully, he doesn't have 566 because he has 565 to lead the way. Johnny O, who you got?
Well, Vinny's got to have that many. And Vinatieri, right?
Vinatieri, however, how do you say it?
Vinatieri.
Vinatieri?
That's it. That's how I say it. He never got mad at me for saying it that
all
way.
All right, so then I'll go with Vinatieri. He has 458, good for 7th all time. Tony, who you got?
I'll go with the other Anderson, Gary.
Gary Anderson, number 2 on the list. He's crushing it right now with 538, the only other guy with over 500, the two Andersons spelled differently.
So it's since 96?
Since 96, they've moved past. So Morton Anderson, Gary Anderson, Adam Vinatieri. Who else you got? Ozone. Most field goals, all-time list. Former Jaguar.
Sebastian Janikowski.
No.
Okay.
what the Pee Wee Jaguars?
Mike Hollis?
No, he's
Jaguar,
not.
Former Jaguar.
Mike Hollis?
John Carney. Jason Hansen's 3rd. John Carney's 4th.
Hansen was going to be my next one.
Well,
about the Jaguar.
You blew it by not getting...
I know.
But once he guessed Sebastian Janikowski, it was over.
He's not on that?
He's
Hansen?
Not.
Really?
No. Matt Stover, John London? Casey,
yeah.
Jason Elam, and David Akers are the
really?
Guys.
Really? Akers?
David Akers. Olindo Mare is up in the top 15. Seabass is tied for 16th, if this is up to the minute. I'm not sure it is. Pro Football Reference. Tied, by the way, with Phil Dawson, who is a field goal kicking machine these
right.
days for San Francisco. Still is.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Those guys each have 348 made field goals.
Jeff Loggeman just passed by the studio, Mike.
And it's a great moment.
You sensed it, didn't you?
I told you. Say something great, and we'll pull some sound bites, and we'll play them for Jeff tomorrow.
If you're waiting for me to say something great, you got a long
this
wait.
This is the kind of analysis you need to step up to the plate and match, Loggy. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company in Jacksonville, of Jacksonville, and it is the Best Fence Company in Jacksonville,
there he is
by
again.
The way. There he goes. See? I got flustered there.
You did. You did.
I'm not sure what to say. In, of, whether it's for your home, whether it's your business, whatever. If you need fencing designed for your specifications, for your protection at home, whatever the case may be, Best Fence Company in Jacksonville, the call to make. They'll give you a professional free estimate at your convenience if you call 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Those undefeated Dolphins are popping the champagne bottles early in 2014, at least if any of them were staying up late enough last night to watch the NFL's last undefeated team fall. The Cincinnati Bengals and Arizona Cardinals made it all the way to 3-0 before dropping their first game, both in blowout fashion. The Cardinals losing in Denver 41-20. Peyton Manning threw 4 touchdown passes yesterday, becoming just the 2nd player in NFL history to throw 500 touchdowns. He now has 503. He trails Brett Favre by only 5 touchdowns at 508. for the all-time mark, so it will fall probably sometime in the next couple of weeks. The Bengals lost to New England 41-20 yesterday. The New York Jets became the first team this season to be shut out. The San Diego Chargers beat down the Jets 31-0. Phillip Rivers remaining red hot despite losing his third center. They're down to their fourth running back of the year, hooking up with Antonio Gates for two touchdowns. That combination now has connected for 65 scores, the most ever for a quarterback tight end duo in NFL history.
Pretty good, and I am full on the 1-15 train for the New York Jets, by the way. In case you're wondering, which I'm sure you weren't, oh yeah, climb aboard. I hope that train doesn't wreck, because that would offend people who've been victims of a train wreck or their families thereof. But 1-15 is where I'm going with that. And then I don't know. We'll see which quarterback they pick,
right,
which turns out to be the wrong one, because that's how they
imagine Jameis under those New York bright lights.
I really don't. Honestly, no. Give me Mariota.
All the trouble he could find.
There are plenty of options this year. No, thank you very much. All right. You know, with all the parity, doesn't that, and I say this all up here, there's still some elite teams, but nobody's undefeated through this short span of the season. It makes it sting a little bit more. When you're 0-5, nobody's that clear cut above everybody else, and you look up and Oakland's the only other team, and you know, you're kind of used to Oakland being,
sure,
for the most part, a perennial dysfunctional franchise, at least since their last Super Bowl appearance, it seems that way. I think that's part of it too. You look around and the worst of the worst in any given week comes back and has some success, or has had through the first 5 weeks of the year.
It hurts. 0-5 stinks. I mean, it's horrible. It hurts. You don't want it. But again, I'm looking at it. The last couple of games have been more like what I thought it would be before the season. And I think now you get to a point where, again, I hate to say the schedule eases up.
It does, though, to a degree.
Because, well, remember, Tennessee radio is sitting there saying the same thing this week.
Oh, sure they are, but they said that last year when the Jags were 0-8. It eases up from this standpoint, and Jeff Prosser laid it out pretty well this morning. You can say what you want about Nick Foles. I don't know if Nick Foles is really elite. I think that system is...
The offense is elite.
Offense is elite, and he is on pace to put up, you know, pretty good fantasy numbers, put it that way. And they're winning games, mm-hmm. so you give him that credit, but... You know, you talk about Andrew Luck and Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Kirk Cousins is the outlier, perhaps.
Yeah. And I think that was a game where it just all went bad.
And you had a specific game plan for the other guy, too.
Yeah.
You know, where you feel like from what I'm talking to people here in the building that the coaching staff was bummed when he went out, because they really thought that they could pressure Robert Griffin into making mistakes, which Kirk Cousins didn't make.
And you gear up for that, and all of a sudden they hit you with the downhill running, and it just, the wheels kind of came off.
But right.
What you don't have this week is you're not facing a guy who is going to expose every mistake you make in the secondary. I mean, there are some quarterbacks who do. Manning, Rivers, Roethlisberger can extend plays to do that, but outside the top five or six, you're not facing a guy who is absolutely going to expose every mistake you make and make you pay for everything, which is a significant difference.
Granted, but when Locker goes out yesterday, Charlie Whitehurst came in. It wasn't the offense's fault in that game. He helped build a 28-3 lead, and the defense collapsed for Tennessee.
Right.
Whitehurst hit Justin Hunter on a long touchdown, hit Kendall. They both hit Kendall right on touchdown passes yesterday. So they still have some offensive weapons.
Absolutely.
There. You know, especially in the passing game.
I was saying there are guys, as we saw in Phillip Rivers,
you're right,
where if you have one letdown, you are going to
pay
for it.
He's likely
going
to make you pay.
So,
right.
And you mentioned the parity thing. I think I'm of the belief that there's rarely real parity in this league. There's usually, based on the quarterback, there are teams that are going to dominate. I think you still got that. Seattle's got one loss, I believe. Denver's got one loss, and San Diego's got one loss. Seattle's one loss came to San Diego.
Correct.
Denver's one loss, I believe, came to Seattle, if I remember it right. So you're still talking about a group there that has the potential to pull away and clinch things very early and be the elite team.
I would agree with that. When you look right now, without looking at the records, just off the way it feels, who are the best three teams in each conference? You got to, in the AFC, you have to say Denver, San Diego. right? Yes. Are the top two, I believe, are the top two at this moment. Then three is up for debate. You would have said Cincinnati maybe at the top until last night. Hard to put them.
Yeah, they faced a real difficult situation going to New England on the road with New England really needing it. But at the same time, that's sort of been what Cincinnati hasn't been able to do.
You see that stat? The primetime road games are terrible.
I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, they're what are they like? 2-10-ish, something in that ballpark.
And when you combine that with what we've seen from Andy Dalton in the playoffs too, I mean, when the spotlight comes on, they've been really bad.
Right, exactly. So you know,
so those two teams sort of stand out. I think San Diego might be better this year.
San Diego's very strong this year,
meaning better than Denver. I didn't think they were.
So they could, and they beat Denver last year. So they can. They know they can go toe to toe with them.
Right, but then you're bringing in New England, who's been pretty underwhelming this year, and the Colts.
Right.
I mean, that's where you're at in the AFC.
Exactly.
Which is sort of where you were last year.
You kind of got a hodgepodge.
San Diego, by the end, was probably playing as well, you know, as any team in the AFC outside of Denver. So it's sort of holding from what you had last year.
NFC, Seattle, Dallas. Are they? The record indicates they are. I mean,
the Eagles are 4-1.
The Eagles are 4-1.
And it's funny. All of a sudden, everybody sort of assumed before the season the NFC East was weak. Tom's got them going in New York back to 3-2.
Yep.
That's not a terrible division anymore.
And Green Bay,
up and down right now.
They are up and down. But as you know, Roger said, "Hey, relax." I mean, they certainly the way they played last week. Well, you could say that about Atlanta a couple weeks ago too. So we'll see if they can sustain it.
If the Packers get in, if you have Rodgers, you can make noise.
New Orleans is the whole NFC South right now is kind of just, yeah.
Yeah, know? Panthers surprising. I thought the Panthers would be a little more consistent.
That was a good win for them yesterday,
though. Because
they got down, and they're playing with no running game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're, you know, all their backs are hurt, and they, you know, Cam is not running at all, which is a major part of their offense and what they do. So they're asking him to win games strictly from the pocket right now. And, you know, their defense made big plays yesterday. They spotted Chicago a lead, but then they stiffen up. And that's the problem with the Bears. The Bears have been fast starters and poor finishers this year.
2-3.
I thought the Bears would be better. That surprises me. But
well, they had the Packers on the ropes. They had Carolina on the ropes. At least they were marching up and down the field
kind of
on Green Bay.
Pull one out against Chicago against San Francisco, or else they'd be in real trouble.
Right.
So, you know. Most teams, you can look at the early season that way.
You might have put Detroit in that category, but there are a lot more teams in the conversation.
I think Detroit winds up being really tough to beat in that division.
That defense is the thing. The defense is the calling card for them right now because, you know, yet right now, without Calvin Johnson, that offense, I mean, without Calvin Johnson, Joyke Bell yesterday, they're not getting anything out of the tight end position. Very little from Reggie Bush.
Right.
Golden Tate's playing well, but if you don't have a healthy Calvin Johnson, that team's pretty average.
I guess the kicker missed three field goals yesterday, and they should have probably won that game yesterday.
Yeah, Henry, and that's their second kicker of the year. They already they had the rookie Nate Freeze. They
might not
him.
Be the last.
You wouldn't think you'd make it when you miss three, including I believe one in overtime or right at the end of regulation. You let Buffalo come back. Kyle Orton remains undefeated against the Detroit Lions.
Well, why wouldn't he be?
By the way, coaches and all the blatant lying. I guarantee you. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to say with as close to absolute certainty as I can that if you
asked Jim, Tony, he said, "I guarantee you."
No, I backed off the guarantee. I bet we can find a quote from Jim Schwartz last week downplaying the significance of that game. Okay.
Oh, and then there was a huge story. Yeah. Yes.
Then you find, right. There was a story about him downplaying, like, this is just another game. I'm not getting caught up.
Right.
And then you find out, and in the off season, he told his team, if we go in there and beat him, I want you to carry me off the field. And that's what they did yesterday. And so why can't you admit that? What is the harm in saying, yeah, it means a little bit more to me when I go in there and take on the team?
Wait.
Winston Guy didn't have a problem doing it, right? Did you see that when he got picked up by Andy?
Oh, Winston.
All right. We'll come back. Let's hear a little bit from Gus and Blake postgame. Yesterday, Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I'll give you a nickel if you name this song. What do you got, Johnny O? Nickel. Nickel on the line. This is Smashing Pumpkins.
I was going to say, this must have been released after 1988.
Is that right? Is your 88's your cutoff?
Yeah,
I like 91.
It's pretty much my cutoff for cool music.
Yeah. I don't know if anything I ever listened to was all that cool.
Well, I mean,
new music.
Yeah, I mean, I
occasionally I'll know like a new song, but don't rely on me to know anything.
I can mix in a little Green Day every now and then, but beyond that,
right?
Little Rancid every now and then, I can hit you with.
I can't do any Rancid for you.
I think Tony knows about Rancid.
This song is "The End Is the Beginning Is the End." I think the point of the
I think Lauren's hanging him up. I think she's quitting.
She's confusing me. Is what the theme
she
is
wants saying. To start over. Like you said from the very beginning, yeah, it was funny. You said that, but then you didn't guess it as the music theme.
Wait a minute. Starting back
I
want to
start the season over.
Back on the chain.
Pretenders.
Game.
I want to pretend that it's...
Pretend it never happened.
Right, that we haven't played five games.
You got to break out a little John Lennon, Yoko Ono starting over.
That's good. That is good. That is
anything
me
for you, John.
That's good.
I can sing that if you want.
I can
Lauren.
Too.
Please do.
I can't sing
both of
well.
You in That's duet would be amazing.
That is the problem.
And you know I know Rancid. I'm a little punk rock kid, man.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Absolutely.
Modern Clash.
Meat Men? Any Meat Men for you back in the day? Were the Meat Men
so
you
much.
Suck? Can I say that? Is that
whoa.
Guarantee if I read some of their song titles, you think Jackson's it? Not
You'd
one.
Be issued
oh
an apology.
My goodness. Oh my goodness. Not good. All right, let's get to a few post-game thoughts from the head coach and quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Yesterday, Gus Bradley talking, first off, how the Jags looked defensively yesterday.
Defensively, I thought we played better. We end up with four sacks, sack caused fumble, held a really good offensive team to 9 points, you know, a good rushing team. Still some things we can work on. There were times when we had too much time back there passing, but I felt like the coverage was tighter. I felt like some things that we challenged our guys on, they did, and so we'll grow from it.
How about the more disappointing side of the ball yesterday, the offense? How'd they look?
Offensively, some good things took place. I'm fortunate at the end. I know the emphasis is going to be on the pick six. But I thought Blake showed really good poise in coming back, and he did a lot of things. We asked him to do a lot of things this game, and he stepped up. And just how he went back on the field and went attacked it, we had an opportunity. When we were down by 8, we forced a punt. Defense got a stop. Offensively, went out there, and we just missed the opportunity.
Look, he had a couple of drives. The first one is just mind-boggling. You know, 15 plays, he went 43 yards. That's very difficult to do
Not
in
easy.
The National Football League, to have that many plays and only go that many yards. But they did eat up, you think about it, they ate up 8 minutes time of possession. And then the rest of the game, they only had the ball for 17 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had a 10-minute deficit in time of possession compared to Pittsburgh yesterday, despite that extremely time-consuming drive that ate up more than half of the first quarter. But Gus talked about the next step being you need to finish these drives.
Yeah, as a team. I thought there's some plays out there that we left on the field. We had some drop balls that we could, I know that we've made in practice, and now we got to bring it to the game and make those plays. So, you know, I think as a team we need to finish better. Marked improvement, just still not there yet.
Yeah, settling for 3 field goals in the game yesterday. He was also asked if they would consider this a step in the right direction for this team.
Well, I don't know. I think that's not what we're thinking right now. I think there's a feeling of disappointment that, you know, we missed one here. You know, but I give a lot of credit to Coach Tomlin and the Steelers. I mean, they battled back. It was a hard-fought game, and they made more plays when it counted than we did.
I said this after the game that I'm so glad he said that. He said, you know, the bite of the week on the pregame from Gus was something to the effect of, I'm glad fans are upset, disappointed. They need to be. We are too, mm-hmm. You know, and it's small solace maybe, but I'd rather hear him say what he said there than say, you know, we're growing, we're getting better. In the end, he knows it's
right.
A results-oriented business. Everybody knows, but it's good to hear that expressed because I think fans, and not all of them, but a certain segment of the fan base feels like, man, Gus is just, you know, positivity, sunshine, and roses all the time, and let's always look on the bright side. Well,
which he's not. That's his philosophy. That's what he is trying to get the players to buy into every day. That you can't, you know, 'cause it is no good for the players to sit there and dwell on it, to go over what, you know, that doesn't help you get better. And this team's got to get better, so he's not going to do that. But at the same time, he knows that yesterday was a game they should have won, that they left some points in the field. If they get some touchdowns when they settle for field goals, all of a sudden that dynamic's different. There was a key play at the end of the game. That was a game they felt like they could have won. And so Yeah,
hey, it's 10-9 with 12 minutes left.
Right.
Go get him. You know, you got the ball.
I thought he said, I thought his stance after that game was exactly what it should have been.
Needed to be said.
Right.
I think for a certain segment of the fan base needed to hear that from him yesterday. Need wins more, but we'll take what we can get right now. Gus also talked yesterday about the game, the debut on the field of Storm Johnson.
We said that we were going to give him some reps and give him some opportunities. I thought he did a good job. I know he came up with his ankle a little bit. I think they retaped it, and then we got him some more reps in there. So, you know, just like what we had planned. His objective is we got to gain trust in him. He had a couple good weeks of practice. We gave him an opportunity, and we'll evaluate from here on.
Yeah, and one of the big questions coming out of yesterday, and again, it's a regular theme on Mondays after a team loses the play calling on offense and defense and all of that. Obviously, not a lot of explosive plays for this team. Was it a lack of execution on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I think there's a couple. I'm not sure. I know the first drive I think was that we had was a 15-play drive. And when you know, that's executing all the way down the field. So I think those are really good signs right there that maybe in the past we haven't had. So when you get longer drives, that's good that we're efficient that way. We just got to finish. We got to take advantage of those long drives like that and end it with a touchdown.
All right, people were questioning already. Alan Hearns had a rough game yesterday. Was it Alan Hearns' fault? And if you watch, even if you watch that play, not knowing what the play call was originally, very tough to say Alan Hearns barely had time to plant his feet, never mind drive back to the ball. From my perspective, I never thought that Hearns should have, you know, like the week before his career,
right.
Cecil Shorts, had he had a healthy hamstring, should have driven back and
absolutely
had time to drive back. I didn't feel like Hearns was in a position, had enough time to be in position to do that. You know what I mean? I didn't think his feet were planted.
It would have been a great play to be able to do that.
Right. I mean, it would have been way over the top, out of the ordinary.
Yeah, that didn't, I never even thought about that until I started getting the questions about it.
Right.
And I think Blake, who's typically, again, we only have a short window to judge how Blake is post game when he's talking. He, you know, he's not really given to being dishonest in the post game. And he said, I checked the wrong play.
Yeah, here's exactly what he said right here.
You know, I checked to it. Wasn't really a good check anyway. Should have just stayed in the play we got called. But it was just bad read, bad throw. You know, Alan was right. You know, worst case scenario, I should have just thrown it over his head and gave us a shot on third down.
Yeah, you want to hear that, Adam. I mean, that's a great sign. Again, it's not the biggest thing, but there's no finger pointing. There's no trying to hide the blame. At that point in time, nobody knew that he checked out of a run play. And he's like, hey, I shouldn't have done that. And then once I did that, I compounded it by throwing it into coverage that had very little chance of success.
And I thought again, I thought we saw some good things out of Blake. And especially, although the offense did struggle, there was also the drive at the end of the first half where they went down and they got points and they came out aggressive. And even though the offense receivers were struggling to get open, they still had some windows where you looked like he knew what he was doing in situations where he has to know what he's doing.
Well,
at the end of the first half, and then they came out in the second half and also had a good drive that got them in a situation where they could score. It wasn't absolutely anemic all game. There were still bursts where you look at the kid and say, when he's got a lot to work with, and even early there were drops that the offense could have been much more efficient early, and I thought he came out playing well. You're still seeing everything you want to see from him.
Well, yeah, and in the two-minute drill when he had the pump fake that basically got Todman open down the field on that screen. I mean, those are things that from a rookie quarterback, you don't expect to see a lot of it, and we're seeing it every week from Blake. And I think one of the things that hasn't been talked about much is he's already got the freedom in his second start to change the play at the line of scrimmage. And how many years did we have Garrard in there and Leftwich in there where these guys were not given any freedom when they saw what the defense was doing to get out of a bad play and potentially get them in a better one? Now, he got them in a worse play in that situation, but at times he's going to eventually get them into better plays, and he's learning on the fly, basically, that, yeah, I can't do that. They showed me
really
something.
It's really hard to do that with,
they tricked
with rookies
me
playing around.
Right.
That's hard.
I got to ask David Garrard when he comes in this week about that, because I remember him at some point that was a big topic of discussion. He didn't have the ability, the freedom to audible. But because Fred Taylor made this point yesterday as well, that he thought that was a great sign that you're giving him that kind of responsibility. But I really wonder, was it as simple as a run pass kind of check? You know what I mean? Is he going up there?
Most, especially young guys.
Right.
That's what most check systems are. Even Peyton in Indianapolis went to the line with three choices. You know, it's not like
we got the entire playbook and I'm going to call out, hey, by the way, page 63, remember that one? Let's go to that here.
Offenses aren't doing that simply because even if the quarterback knows it, to expect all 11 guys to be able to pull the playbook in 10 seconds and get into the right play is a little tricky.
I wonder though if David always had that option, like from the moment he stepped in, or was he locked into, that's it, we're going to run this play, and I don't care what you see, or you're going to run it, because I do think, you know, it's a lot less, it's one thing to go in the huddle, like Jim Kelly used to do, and literally call the play, say, hey, this is what we're going to do right here on this play.
Very experienced offense.
Right. But if they're saying, okay, it's A, B, and if you don't like the look of A, go to B, well, that's fine. Maybe you should have stuck with A, but if you went to B in that instance, as Blake said, should have probably thrown that away. Talked also about facing the different looks that he's seen so far on defense.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. They, you know, didn't do a whole lot that caught us off guard. You know, we were prepared and ready, and, you know, I think we did a good job up front. Receivers did a really good job winning in man coverage and one-on-one, and, you know, there were some good things. You know, I think that there's some good stuff to learn from, definitely, you know, good and bad.
Well, you're facing a Dick LeBeau defense, and he tricked him a couple times in the game. We talked about the pick six where he got into a bad play. I mean, I can remember one other occasion where it looked like they had the little bubble screen on the outside set up, and the linebacker ran out at the last second, and it gave the Pittsburgh Steelers an advantage on that side, and the play wound up for nothing. But it looked for the world like Blake had got him into the right play, and then at the last minute, Dick LeBeau took it away like he knew what was about to happen to him. He was also asked yesterday about what he learned yesterday on the field.
You know, you got to go through and you're going to make mistakes. You know, you try not to make the same mistakes twice, but just seeing things, seeing looks and saying, you know, I could have taken that, I should have taken that, or, you know, I checked to this when I probably should have checked to that. I think all those things, you know, schematical things, you know, as far as, you know, I know the offense, but, I mean, there's just so much more you can know and become, you know, it can put our offense in better situations.
All right, coming up, we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Your final thoughts on what he had to say here, John?
He never looked overwhelmed yesterday.
I agree.
Against the Steelers defense. And,
right.
And again, second start against that defensive coordinator, he never looked overwhelmed, didn't look confused, didn't look like it was bigger than him. And I think that's a very, very positive sign for him.
Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, sporting arms, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at guns4jax.com online. Guns, the number 4, JAX, or visit Wild West Guns and Gold on Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Coming up, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, the three adjectives that describe how you feel right now about the Jacksonville Jaguars on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, wrapping things up today on Jaguars Today, at least coming up. Foo Fighters, No Way Back, despite the fact that Lauren wants to hit the reset button like I do. I've been looking for it, Lauren. I've been trying. Hit that damn thing. That's why Lauren went to the draft open today.
Well, I went to Bortles pick, if you get it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's way too clever on too many levels for me. Way over my head.
That's what I had to tell you.
Yes, thank you. Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Knew David Garrard would come through. Texted me, said, Tom Coughlin's the only coach I had that let you use the whole playbook. Most teams do that, take 2 to 3 plays to the line, and then you call the right play based on what the defense is showing you out of those 2 to 3 options that you have. So I take it that was what the system he most often operated under,
mm-hmm.
As a quarterback. So I replied, "You the man." He said, "Hey, long time listener." Nice job.
What's up, Dave?
DG9. We'll see you. By the way, in case you're wondering what day you're coming in Thursday.
There
you
go.
If you can make it. We'll see you then, long time listener. Also, Tony, not that we cover anything but the Jags and the NFL on this particular broadcast, but tell me what the scuttlebutt is or the buzz is coming out of Gainesville at the moment.
Well, it's difficult to figure out what exactly it means, but the Gators have postponed their weekly Monday press conference with head coach Will Muschamp. Now, what that might mean, nobody knows. It could be a quarterback decision as far as who's going to start, although that seems ridiculous to postpone the press conference.
You had all weekend to figure that one out.
Who knows? But the people that are down there covering the team, I know Mark Long is saying that if it's what he hears is happening, then it's not good. Pat Dooley, I saw tweet out something that he expects something big would be the reason that they're postponing this press conference. So stay tuned. I mean, as soon as we get word, we'll obviously get it out. But the Gators have postponed the Monday press conference with Will Muschamp, at least for now.
Well, stay tuned as you would anyway to XL Primetime. They'll have full coverage of anything coming out of that particular situation. Before we get to the fan feedback spotlight, I want to remind folks with the Cleveland game, the next home game here, Foundation Professionals of Florida giving you a chance to score a pair of tickets to that along with a pair of passes to the 1010XL pregame party by simply posting in our thread entitled Old School Jaguars. If you go and go to facebook.com/Jaguars today and just post a picture of whatever Old School Jaguars means to you in that Facebook thread, you'll go into the drawing and, we'll pick the best ones and they'll go into the drawing, for a pair of tickets to the Cleveland game. Foundation Professionals of Florida, your full service foundation repair company, and, whatever the solution you need, underpinning, polyurethane, cement grout injection, sinkhole stabilization, even seawall repair, whatever it is, Foundation Professionals of Florida, 287-2690 or foundationprosfl.com. Today, Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you for three adjectives that best describe how you're feeling. I did enjoy adjectives, one of my more, probably maybe one of my top 10 or 12 Schoolhouse Rocks back in that big aficionado of the Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah, Osier knows what talking about. Yeah. I got the DVD with all of them on there.
I like the math. Naughty, nasty, mean on number nine.
See, I was never big on number nine, but that's good. That's good for you. I was more like the.
I still sing some of those by heart. I won't do that.
Oh,
right.
I absolutely could as well. How else did anyone of our age group learn the preamble to the Constitution?
Right.
But from Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way you learned it. But today we want adjectives, adjectives, adjectives. What do we get, Tony?
Here's what we got from Jag Junkie. We got frustrated, confused, depressed. That's not good. From Paolo, we got sad, depressing, hopeful. Those don't seem to go together. Dusty said annoyed, mad, and encouraged. It's a weird mix. From Mike, we got you only need one, and that's exhausting. Hashtag six wins in the last 35. Hashtag be patient, though. From at Irish Jaguar, we got encouraged, hopefully hungover. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Christoph, our two friends over there across the pond, both with the same word in here, but hopeful, encouraged, hungover. Apparently they like to drink over there in Europe. From Cam, we got annoyed for mascots, BS, drama, happy Jacks, still my team, thankful to still have a team in Jacks. From Punisher, tired of the excuses, optimistic our young players develop, disappointed in the running game. From Area Man, we got sad, sadder, saddest. Hashtag frowny face. From Sean, progressing, energetic, youthful, one step closer to success. Michael said, used to it, expecting of it, and eh.
Expecting of it.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. From Eric, we got tough question, bored, unimpressed, and borderline apathetic. I'm just tired of the losing.
All right, got a few on Facebook here. Not much rosier, although there were some, you know, in there that, like, I get it. You're kind of bummed right now in the short term. You're hopeful, though, that you've got some pieces in place, particularly the quarterback, that can turn it around. Edward Painter said depressed, suicidal, and bored. Don't know. It's not worth it, Edward. Stay with us. Brian Saladino, indifferent, disinterested. Too many years that just went on a rant, all right? And I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can go to the Facebook page and read it. I think he gave up on the three-word limit at that point in time. And on it went along those lines. So a little bit later on, we'll select somebody today to get a T-shirt, Jaguars Today T-shirt, from amongst those respondents today. The Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, featuring Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mini. Visit TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. We encourage you to participate on a daily basis. Bull City Batman's in the house. Swing a mic his way there, Tony, if you don't mind, and let's say hello. You got three adjectives that can describe how you feel about the your current state of Jaguar fandom?
Well, hungover definitely fits the bill on that one.
Hungover is one.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm still hopeful. You know, I saw a lot of good things yesterday. And, you know, I'm still kind of upset would be another one. You know, we had the win if we just – we had a couple plays that we needed to happen. But it was still, you know, it was a good time and it was a good game. And
are you more encouraged watching that game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We didn't get blown out. I mean, that was the biggest thing for me. We actually had competitiveness. We came in, we did our thing, and though it didn't come out with a win, a lot of good things came out of it. We are still a young team, but, you know, it's just a step-by-step program. It actually looks like we took a step forward this game instead of three step back.
What's the story with the dandy sandwiches going on here?
Oh, man, you know, Johnny O, I think he was just hungry. He made up some excuse of wanting something.
He wanted to do a feature on the dandy sandwiches.
I think that was just an excuse for I'm really hungry and I want
to. So we need it for a photo, and all the guys are pretty happy.
What did you bring us over there? Or man, what did you bring John?
Man, I brought 3 foot of perfection. It's the only way you can really put it. You got your butterball turkey that's on there and your Black Forest ham. And you got your lettuce, tomato, and onion and pickles, but it's on an authentic Cuban bread from La Segunda. It is an amazing sandwich. I didn't put no condiments on there. I figured, you know, y'all could kind of
figure out what y'all want.
But that, truthfully, you don't even need no condiments on it. I mean, the meat.
It doesn't sound like it.
The meat just it speaks for itself. I mean, the taste is just off the charts.
You guys are killing it right now.
We're doing great, man. It's awesome. And, you know, a lot of support coming from the local community, you know, throughout Florida and Georgia.
I see people tweet me all the time now. Oh, they're picking up their Danny's. Anytime you see it, man, take a picture, tweet it at me. I'll send it on. And you never know. You may get a sandwich coming your way.
Yeah, you tweet me out and stuff. And, you know, with a picture of it, I usually end up doing something nice for you just for showing the support. So, I mean, I'm always welcoming. You can either send it to BCB Batman or to @DandyFoods. Or you can just, you know, tweet the guys here at 1010XL. And I'll take care of you. I always pick a couple people a month just to, you may get a goodie box or something.
All right. We probably won't see you the rest of the week, I'm guessing. But you feel free to bring lunch if you want. But what kind of chance you give them in Tennessee next week?
Man, it's going to be a good game. You know, they're doing pretty good up there in Tennessee. But if we could take another 2 steps forward, I don't think they have a chance.
All right. Well, they snapped the streak last year on the road against the Titans. We'll see if they can do it again this time around a few games earlier in the season. Johnny O, final thoughts for you as they turn the page, the 24-hour rule soon to be in effect, and they move on to week 6.
You know, a young offense. I just think that is the theme right now, that you're going to get this sort of inconsistency. And you're going to want to see some gradual improvement. I don't think it's going to be a step up every week, but you know, to me, that's the theme right now. It is so young on offense that it's going to be season defining. They've got to get through it and get better by the end of the year.
What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
Well, again, just some quality coverage, as always. You know, what we learned this morning, and then we'll cover. Gus is going to speak at 1, and the players are talking in the locker room. So it's very much a follow day. And I try to figure out how these guys are shaking out this loss and, you know, well, what they do to move forward.
All right. By the way, Bolt City Batman in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat today, as all guests of Jaguars today are. The seat a little warm over there for you?
Oh, it is definitely a little
warm. All right. There you go.
You're feeling the heat.
You're not the only guy around here, apparently. For Fat Tony, for John Osier, for Bolt City Batman, for Lauren Brooks and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping up Jaguars today. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. And, you know, stick around. XL Primetime coming up. I'm sure the boys will dig deep into the weekend that was with the Jags and the NFL and get to the bottom of what's going on in Gainesville right now as well. Keep it right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.